Then we go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, and it is told to us that God has placed eternity in the hearts of man. And in reality, when we analyze this, when we think about it, we see that the only thing that makes sense within that description is our memory. Because in the scopes of our mind, we are able to go to the past, think toward the future, and do it from the present. Therefore, indeed, memory serves as a reminder of what eternity is. It serves as a way of reflection of what we are headed toward. Notice how in the book of Revelation, the Bible tells us that our works will follow us, those who are faithful. How our names will be inscribed in the book of life, making a memory before God of the things that we achieved as faithful Christians. Indeed, memory, memorials, and remembrances are a thing that are used so that we won't forget, so that we can always remember how to use this blessing wisely. You see, tonight, brethren, is the last Sunday of 2020. And even with the way I just began the night's lesson, by giving that heavy announcement and having to make this announcement, perhaps, maybe, hopefully, for the last time this year. But we have already made memory of this year as something terrible, as something that we are ready to end, as something that perhaps will never be lost from our memories because of such an event that never in our own lifetimes we had transpired. But notice the parallels of the book of Esther. The threat of genocide looming over them, coming straight from the king's palace. A very real and real, clearly near threat that almost took place had it not been for Mordecai and Esther. A book in which we never read the word God. We never read the word Jehovah, and yet his hands, his fingerprints are all over them, because from it we learn the blessing of divine providence. And indeed, we see how these people, Mordecai, Esther, and the Jews of that time, understood the value of remembering what happened that year. They understood the value of not forgetting, how they were almost erased from the map, how there was a man who plotted against them, and yet God provided salvation yet again through that queen that no one expected to become queen of an empire of that size. You see, brethren, when we think about the gift of memory, we have to understand that there is a value to it. There is a value, and there is only one way that we can truly use our memory in a wise way. And although there are some thoughts that we prefer not to think about, some very disgusting or uncomfortable memories that we'd rather shove to the backs of our minds, it is valuable to use even those memories in a positive way, in a way like we see here that the Jews understood would be valuable. Let me read to you once more verse 27 and verse 28. The scripture says, the Jews established and imposed it upon themselves and their descendants and all who would join them, that without fail they should celebrate these 2 days every year according to the written instructions and according to the prescribed time, that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, that these days of Purim should not fail to be observed among the Jews, and that the memory of them should not perish among their descendants. You see, you cannot speak about the blessings of God, especially when it comes to his divine deliverance and his divine providence, without thinking about what the situation was before God's hand appeared. When the Jews remembered these days, when they kept this faith for every generation, it wasn't just to celebrate their victory from the hands of their enemies, but it was to remember why and how they found themselves in this place. Remember that when the book of Esther was written, these Jews were still strangers in their own land. They were still under captivity because the captivity had not yet been lifted. This was part of the 70 years that they found themselves outside of Jerusalem. And this is only one taste of the types of trials and types of tribulations that they found themselves in their own land. So they understood that the reason they were there as captives was because they had been punished by the Almighty due to their idolatrous nature. But in spite of God punishing them, in spite of them knowing that they were reaping what they had sown, it was worth remembering. It was worth remembering because God delivered them from the hands of their enemies. God still provided for them salvation in spite of what was going on. And thus this taught them how to nurture growth and improvement. If anything, brethren, we should learn this year as we look back upon it, as we see the challenges that 2020 has brought upon to all of us as a whole, how we've learned to survive, how we've learned to be more keen to one another. We've learned to be more selfless and less selfish. We've learned that no matter what the situation may be, we can find a way with God's assistance. And that we can truly be strong. That we are probably stronger than what we know, or that we are weaker than what we thought. But in either case, we can grow. We can improve if we look back, and we look back as a tool to help us learn. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. One thing that 2020 should have taught us as human beings is just how frail our bodies really are. It should have been a stark reminder of our mortality. It should have reminded us that we are not invincible, that we are not eternal, and that no matter what age or what health state we may be in, we can be here today and in a blink of an eye, no longer be here. But because we are still here, those of us that have been blessed to still be here, we can use this as an opportunity to grow and improve upon our lives. Because when death comes real near, when we get this real death experience like the Jews did there at Shushan, it serves as a way of becoming a reflective pool. A pool where we begin to reflect and meditate upon what is indeed our life. We see the Bible compare our life to a breath. We see the Bible compare life to dew, and we see the Bible compare it to the flowers or to the wildflowers of the garden. But the reality is that God is always reminding us that our time here on earth is actually more brief than what we like to imagine it so. And because of this, every day that we live, every day that we exist, every day that our eyes open in the morning, our first priority should be, how can I be holier than I was yesterday? How can I improve upon myself as a godly man of righteousness. Because if we are still here, brethren, it means that we are not yet perfect. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3 stated this about himself, saying that he had not yet achieved it, that he had not yet been perfected, but that he continued to strive and aim and press toward the mark. This year, brethren, truly brought out the best in some of us, but it also brought out the worst in others. But still, those that perhaps had brought out the best in you, it is wise to learn, as verse 12 warns, that we take heed lest we fall. Let us not become overconfident. Let us not allow that to turn itself against ourselves. Because today we may have been strong, but tomorrow we may not be. We have to continue to improve. We have to continue to nurture that strength, to use it in a wise way, to help others and help guide others that perhaps were not strong during this first wave of trials. If we remember this year, let us not remember it as a terrible year, but let us remember it as a massive stepping stone, as a great spotlight that showed us our true selves, even if we didn't want to see who we really are. I know I've learned a lot about myself this year. I know that this year has truly been extraordinary in my personal case to show me who I really am. And it's not only shown me the virtues, but it's also shown me those nasty, ugly things that I don't want to know about myself. It's shown me things that I perhaps would have not paid attention in a year if everything would have been calm as it usually is. But notice, brethren, how the Jews themselves took it upon themselves, says the book of Esther. God did not have to command it as he did in the Passover feast. God did not have to intervene and tell Mordecai to tell the people, "This shall be a day of remembrance for you." No, they took it upon themselves. They learned about it and they understood the value of making something that would always serve as a reminder of God's divine deliverance. And thus we see how it awakens a spirit of humility and gratitude. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Notice how it begins. Remember that here in Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is speaking to those Christians who used to be Gentiles. We know this because he speaks to those who were called uncircumcised by the circumcision. But what he is explaining to them, he is bringing to their memory. And notice how he begins by saying, therefore, remember what your state was before Christ. Where your standing was with God before Christ. Where you found yourselves before Christ found you. And it isn't to humiliate them. It isn't to lord over them that he came from the Pharisee world. No. It was so that they could be grateful and that they could humble themselves, because it showed the extraordinary depths and lengths of God's love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, as we saw last week, we see just how deep that well goes. We see just how deep into the mire some of us were. And no matter how deep we were, God's love was deeper and it was stronger to be able to pull us from it. When the lost son returns home before he does, what made him repent? It says that he remembered. He remembered that in the house of his father, his servants were living better than he was. He remembered the kindness that his father showed his servants. He remembered how his father was selfless. He remembered the kindness, the grace, and the mercy of his father with those whom were his workers. When he made memory of this, notice how scripture says that he returned to himself. When he was ignoring the reality of his past, when he was ignoring the reality of his upbringing, when he was ignoring whom he was lost. Thus, scripture very succinctly tells us he found himself by remembering who he was. Brethren, we have much to be grateful for this year. Even though it has been a challenging year more than others in the past, for some, perhaps this has been the most challenging year of your life. But God has delivered you from it. He has blessed you throughout it as well. It has not all been curses, pandemics, and death threats. Some good has come out of this year as well. God's fingerprints has been all over it. His divine providence, his protection. And of course, you cannot forget that your life, your health, and if you eat three meals a day, all of that shows that he is still with you. And he's still protecting you. Even though we perhaps have felt like the Jews, that through this situation that we find ourselves in a way we've been held captives in our own homes, haven't we? We felt that we have been strangers in our own land because of how things have changed, because of the circumstances. Sometimes it feels like we no longer recognize the world because in one year, it has drastically changed. And yet, one thing that has never changed, the one being that has remained the same, who has been constant, has been the Almighty. He has shown his mercy and grace upon all. He continues to ask and demand for the sinner to repent. And the Son, in the blood of his Son, continues to cleanse away the sins of the sinners. No matter how much the environment, the circumstances of our lives, has changed, God has remained constant through it all. He has been the same God that delivered through the hands of Esther and Mordecai, the Jews. He too has been the same God who is delivering us from that spiritual illness known as sin through the blood of his Son. When we look back upon this year, we need to do so with a spirit of humility and a spirit of gratitude for what God has done for us, for how he has protected us, for how he has given us the answers to our prayers. For some, like Obed and Victoria, my dear friends who are no longer with us, for them, it was a glorious year because they claimed their crown, earned their place in heaven. They secured their spot because, like Paul, they knew that they had finished the race, fought the good fight, and kept the faith. See, for a Christian, death isn't a bad thing. For a faithful, convicted Christian, death is the ultimate glory. But when we think back to know that it is because of the blood of the Lamb that we can have that assurance, that we can have that confidence, that we know, as 1 Corinthians 15:58 teaches us, that we are not laboring in vain, but that indeed the promise is true, because he who made the promise is faithful, teaches Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 and forward. Well, that gives us much to think about and to feel grateful for. To humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Because when we think back where we came from, where we were, and where we are now, well then, naturally, this will also lead us to think about where we are headed. Notice how when we use our memories correctly, it will stir the embers of hope and motivation. It should stir the embers of hope and motivation. Turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Mordecai decided to write these things in a book, says Scripture. The Jews who took it upon themselves decided to make this an annual feast for all of their generations. But it wasn't just to remind them of how God delivered them from the hands of their enemies, but it was also as a motivator to be able to view and witness the blessings that indeed come when someone is faithful and obedient to God. It served as a motivator to those who sometimes become discouraged. That when they think back and remember of those great heroes found in Hebrews 11, that we too can be in their company if only we hang on. If only we dare to be like Daniel, who in spite of everything that was thrown at him, his conviction was solid, was never shaken. Who went against the very edict of the king, not out of civil disobedience or rebelliousness, but because he understood that God came first. And he understood and was ready to face the consequences, so much so that he was thrown into the lion's den. We are to remember how Samson, who began in wickedness but ended the right way, how it isn't how strong we begin, but how strong we end. That even in the last minute, there is still an opportunity to be able to reconcile ourselves, to continue to change and improve to the very last minute. And that like Samson, if we pray with a humble heart and we know what to pray for, God will grant us the strength that we need to take down our enemies. Indeed, brethren, when we look upon that hall of faith, it should be a motivator. Those embers should ignite that flame within us. It should stir within us that desire, that zeal to want to be better, to want to continue fighting. Who, like Joshua, who for many, many years fought those kings until he conquered the promised land, that we do not put our swords down, that we continue to fight until we conquer the promised land. That like Nehemiah, as we rebuild our own walls and our brethren's walls of faith, that has for some has been perhaps cracked or even shattered this year, that with one hand we may work and build with the hammer, but with the other we may be able to defend ourselves with the sword of the Spirit. Yes, when we remember these examples, when we make memory and we have these memorials, when we do the year-end review, we should be motivated to be better. We should be motivated to continue on the path that we are if we have been better. We should be encouraged not to stop. Because when we look and see how much ground we've been able to gain, how much of the journey we've already completed, it should motivate us to see that we are near that eternal realm that has been promised to us. The Jews understood the value of teaching their children of their history. They understood that it would motivate them to remain faithful to the Lord who had saved them from sure genocide. It would show them the consequences of their sins in the form of captivity. And it would motivate them not to repeat the mistakes, but to repeat the trust and the obedience to the Lord. Indeed, memory is a gift from God when we use it properly. When we look back on the year 2020, let's not think about it as the year of the COVID. Let's think of it as a year when our faith was strengthened, when our faith was increased, when God delivered us from certain sins that perhaps, had this pandemic not hit, I would have not realized I needed to change. Let's think of this flame, this fire, as a furnace that has been used by God to purify us. Because remember that our faith is much more precious than gold, says Peter himself. And indeed, if there's one thing I can say of the year 2020, is that the faith of every Christian on every part of this globe was truly tested with the highest form of heat. When we look at it from that angle, it has been a blessed year. For those whose faith was proven to be strong, but then for those whose faith required to be refined. In either case, it has been a blessed year. Because God has been with us through it all. When we look back upon 2020, may we remember more how God never forsake us, how he delivered us, but he also helped us yet again, showing us how we can be stronger and how we can make the adjustments to be better. If we only think about the bad, if we only think about this year from a pessimistic side, well, then indeed it has been a year wasted. But God has not only allowed the bad to take place this year, he's also poured his blessings. He's also shown his divine deliverance. He has proven his promise to be true. I will never forsake you, says Hebrews 13. And indeed, our God has not forsaken us. Thus, my friend, we now come to you. For you see, this is again the gift of memory. Because even though you have not given your life over to him, if you reflect upon your life and you look back upon it, if you truly use that gift that is your memory in a wise way, in a judicious way, you'll see that even though you don't deserve it, God has also provided for you. He has also delivered you. Because the fact that you can listen to my voice on this side of the world shows God's providential hand with you. He's given you life. He's given you health, which means that he continues to give you an opportunity at eternal salvation. Don't you want to use your memory wisely? Don't you want it to motivate you? Awaken in you a spirit of humility and gratitude so that it can nurture that growth in you, to make your inward man stronger, to make you improve as a human being, a man who went from ungodliness to godliness, so that when you look back and remember who you were in comparison to who you will be if you obey the gospel, you then can prove to the world through your life, your conduct and your example, that indeed the power of the blood of the Lamb is mighty. Don't you want to use your memory, that gift, in a wise manner? Don't you want to end 2020 saying, 2020 was the year that I was reborn and began my path toward that promised land? You've heard the word of the gospel preached tonight. If you have not rejected it, that means that you accept it, which means you believe it. And perhaps, like in Acts chapter 2, verse 36 and 37, the words of the Lord are cutting your heart. You're finding that change of heart. You no longer want to resist God, but you now want to embrace Him. You don't want to be a sinner anymore, and like the prodigal son, you are remembering how indeed in the house of your father, his servants eat better than you do. That godly sorrow, if it is indeed godly, says Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, should lead unto salvation. And the way that that repentance does so is when you put your pride aside and confess with your lips that you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God. Where Matthew 10, 32 and 33 says that if you confess before men, He will confess you before God and His angels. But it doesn't stop there, friend. You then have to manifest your faith through an obedience so that it will be an obedient faith. And doing so is following the commandment of Matthew 28, 19 and 20, where Christ Himself, the Son of God, our blessed Redeemer, makes the commandment for you to be baptized. That means to be immersed in the waters of baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, so that you can then rise to a newness of life. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Don't you want your 2020 to be remembered for that? The year when you gave yourself over to God because you fully relied upon Him? If you are ready to give your life over to Christ, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing that hymn of invitation.